Who are these people? If you've seen the original movie of Lilo and Stitch, we do not talk about the remake that they attempted to make. If you've seen the original movie of Lilo and Stitch, you know the clip that we just watched comes at almost the very end of the story. If you've not seen it, might I suggest that you figure out where you can find a copy and try to watch it, because you've missed an awesome treat. But in that clip, Stitch stands there, this little blue creature who was created for nothing more than destruction. That was his purpose. And he was asked, who are these people that you've got here? And his answer is important. This is my family. I found it all on my own. But here's the interesting thing. Stitch didn't find them. They chose him. Lilo chose him. When everybody else saw a monster, she saw a puppy. Isn't that interesting? Nani chose him, kept on loving her sister, even though she brought this monster into their house. And eventually, this little alien that she looked after turned their house completely upside down. But she stuck with it. Why? Because that's what makes family. Family is being chosen and choosing back. Family is a two-way street. And well, this morning, in case you haven't seen the movie, this clip gives us an opportunity to introduce the little characters that we're going to watch run around our screen for the next few weeks. Now, if you're a live stream person, the world has changed, so we're not allowed to show the movie clips as part of the sermon, so you will get audio as a portion of them, and I may have to limit some of your access, but this is why you come to the building, because I can do things in the building I can't do online. So we're going to respect our guardrails and do this, but I just want to introduce the characters to you, because maybe you've never seen this. So first of all, there's Stitch, and I kind of brought my physical representation of what Stitch looks like. They made him so cute and cuddly when they made him into a stuffed animal, but if you look at him in the movie, he is neither cute nor cuddly. Again, he's a creature that was designed to be destructive. He was put on trial, convicted, condemned, and sentenced to be locked away because everybody considered him a menace, too dangerous to live freely. No one sees the possibilities in him, only the threat. Only what he was made to be, not what he could possibly become. So he's not the only family member. We also have Lilo, a lonely little hurting girl who lost her parents and is trying to make sense of the world without them. She's grieving, misunderstood, and craving not just attention, she wants to belong. She's trying to fit in while desperately hiding, by desperately holding on to the connection and whatever family she's got left. And while the movie is called Lilo and Stitch, there is a third member of this family that we need to pay attention to. Her name is Nani, a young woman who never asked to be a mom, but suddenly, in a moment's notice, becomes one. She's thrust into a role that she didn't get trained for, she didn't expect to ever have, and probably didn't feel ready to take on this role. She's overwhelmed, under-resourced, and constantly evaluated. And let's not forget, this is Lilo's sister. So that means she lost her parents too. But she steps into the role because love pushes her forward. And folks, this family is messy. It's imperfect. But it's deeply human. Even with a little alien destructive force tucked into it, it is completely a human family. I began to think about this, and this series is not going to just talk about the family that lives in your house. It's going to talk about the family that lives in our church. And as I thought about this particular sermon series, I began to think about how we often view church. We call it a church family. But let's be honest. When we talk about church, a lot of times church is something I join. I make myself a member of the church. And so that means that it's kind of like a social club or a gym membership, right? I come when I'm feeling like I need to do something, or I come when I feel like I need something out of it. And so I come, and it's just I'm a member. Sometimes we treat church, we're an attender. Therefore, church becomes nothing more than, you know what, it's on the schedule. It's like a concert or a sporting event or something that I have my seat reserved for. So we come to church because it's a place. When you begin to read through Scripture, you understand the church was never supposed to be a place where you joined. I know where that theology comes from, and it does not come from Scripture. You know when you join the church? When you're born of Christ. You are now a member of the church. That's what Jesus said when he talked to Nicodemus. It's not just a place that you come to attend. A church was designed to be a family. See, this is the kind of family many of us can relate to. A little broken, a little family, but it's still good. I can relate to that in the family that lives in my house, and I can relate that to the family that I worship with here on Sunday mornings. It's not very big. Sometimes it's awfully broken, but because Jesus is in the middle of it, it's still good. Therefore, I am always reminded that my family is never perfect, but it's always present. Sometimes, even when I don't want them to be, family is just one of those things that becomes a part of life. And that's why we're starting here today. On Mother's Day, family isn't always born. Sometimes, family is that which we choose. Isn't that how it works? For my family to work, I have to choose words like grace and mercy, sacrifice, cooperation, sometimes words like discipline, sometimes words like frustration, sometimes words like anger. As I use those words, you can think about the families that you're connected with, and guess what? This makes sense to you. See, sometimes God builds a family in ways that we never saw coming. It wasn't something that I planned. This is going to be my family. But family we are. Therefore, today I would like to once again say, Happy Mother's Day. And for our Mother's Day sermon, we're not going to so much focus on Nani, who became a mom. Instead, we're going to dive into Scripture, and we're going to look at another young woman, one that was probably even younger than Nani, whose story begins with an unexpected responsibility, an overwhelming pressure, and a very, very, very courageous word. Yes, Lord. See, today we're going to talk about family begins with choice. The woman's name, her name is Mary. Not Mary Byron, it's Mary. I don't know her last name. Maybe her last name was Carpenter. That would sort of make sense, right? But her name was Mary, and we already know her, all right? If you're sitting here today, you know who Mary is because we know the Christmas story, right? We know about the angels. We know about the manger. We know about the shepherds. We debate about the wise men. But we know the story. But what most of us probably have at some point read without ever really hearing it is what happened after Gabriel came and talked to Mary. Did you know she offers a prayer, or in some renditions sings a song to God about what is about to happen to her life? And this is kind of your cue. If you want to follow along the Scripture, you can grab a Bible out of the pew rack. You can turn to Luke chapter 1. That's where we're going to be. And again, this is one of those things. Yeah, I know where Luke chapter 1 is. That's where Gabriel came. Yeah. What we're going to talk about today is not often spotlighted at Christmas. It doesn't make the Christmas pageant. It's rarely sung or preached. Yet it's important is it's Mary's heart on display. This is Mary saying, yes, God. It's the song of a young woman who steps into a role she never expected to have, but embraces it with faith, courage, and sacrificial love. It's a song that connects deeply with the character in the movie of Nani, a young woman that's in over her head, doing the best she can to love well in impossible circumstances. So, just for a moment, today, let's listen with Mary's words with some brand new ears and see what we can learn about choosing to follow God. And it all starts with the idea that choosing love, and that you must choose love over the idea of comfort. This is what it says. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Now, stop and think about the news she just got. Mary, you're about to become pregnant. And that which you're going to be pregnant with is the Son of God. And you're going to get the responsibility of raising God's child. How many people would like to sign up for that? Yeah. That sounds horrifying, doesn't it? But here we see Mary, and she is praising God while her life is about to get turned upside down. Understand what this means. It means her reputation is going to be questioned. Everybody is going to be looking over her with these discerning eyes saying, yeah, virgin birth? Yeah. What did you really do? Even her own husband-to-be is going to have his questions. In fact, it even calls into question his future, her future. Her comfort is going to be disruptive. Okay, ladies, you can say, yeah, tell me about it. You know, if you've ever given birth to a child, which I have not, I have witnessed to, and it's the last thing I'm planning on witnessing, okay? I have witnessed to, but there is nothing comfortable about delivering a child. There's nothing comfortable about carrying a child. So her comfort is going to be totally destroyed. And remember, this is the time she's supposed to be planning her wedding. Man, that dress she just bought for her wedding isn't even going to fit her by the time she gets to her wedding. Everything is getting all messed up. And remember, she's living in the Jewish culture long ago. Therefore, her safety will be endangered. Do you know what they did to women that they found pregnant outside of wedlock? They took them out to a pit outside the city, and they threw rocks at them. Really? God, this is what you want me to do? And if God dumped that kind of news on you, let me ask you something. Would you still be worshiping? Because that's what Mary chose to do. She chose to worship the fact that she's going to have to go through all of this pain and suffering. Let me ask you something. Would you choose faith? God, are you kidding? You just ruined my entire life. That wasn't the plan, God. That's not how I envisioned my life working out. Here's the thing. Would you choose love? You get that's what she's going to have to do for this young little baby that we always see at the manger. She's going to have to deal with him for the rest of her life. She's going to have to stand at the foot of the cross. She's going to have to choose to love the people that executed her son. Could you do it? Wouldn't that be kind of hard? Welcome to the concept of motherhood. See, the first truth that we learn today when it comes to this idea of being a chosen family and of a mom making a choice, love is a choice, especially when it's uncomfortable. So to help our kids here, let's go back and talk about a character that maybe you're a little more familiar with, this young lady named Nani. Nani didn't choose to become Lilo's mother, but she chose with a lover-like one anyway. She sacrificed her comfort. She set aside her own dreams. She said yes to a calling she did not expect. Trust me, they did not plan on the death of their parents. It just happened. And folks, that's motherhood. Motherhood isn't about giving birth to a child. Motherhood is about stepping into somebody's life and making a difference because you choose to be part of that life. And I got to tell you something. God honors that. God respects that. Even to the point as Mary continues her song, it says that God lifts up the lowly. I'm in verses 50 through 53. Mary continues singing. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he performs mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. As Mary continues singing, Mary sees a God who notices the unnoticed things in life, who honors those things that are humble, who strengthens those that are overwhelmed. And again, as we take a peek back at the movie character, Nani, everything about her situation looks lowly. Think about it for a second. She's barely holding a job. Child Protective Services is breathing down her neck. One wrong move and she's going to lose her family. She has no parents to guide her, no roadmap, no role model, and no margin for error. That's pretty hard. Yet, as you follow her story, her love elevates her. It pulls her up. Her sacrifice actually becomes her strength. Humility becomes honor. And as we flip back to Mary's song, please see, Mary sings about a God who sees those who are lowly. Our society doesn't see lowly. Our society overlooks lowly and doesn't give it a second thought sometimes. But our God sees lowly. Struggling, hurt, broken, devastated, disconnected, dealing with life. Absolutely, positively, no rational reason why things are happening the way they are. And Nani represents the lowly who rise through that love. And well, today, moms, and others who are struggling, you need to hear this. God sees you too. God does not put you on an island and say, see, that's what happens when you don't think things the way I tell you to do them. God sees you too. All of your struggles, all of your hurts, all of your confusion. God sees those of you who are carrying more than you can say. God sees those that do the quiet work that nobody claps for. Nobody comes, you don't get that, yay, you were a mom for another day. Personally, you're like, that's a mom for another day. That's hard work. God sees those that are running from job to daycare to dinner to laundry. And eventually, if you're lucky, to bed, only to get up the next day and do it all over again. God sees that. God understands that. Those who feel like you're barely holding on and you're barely holding your family together. Understand, you're important to your family, but God is the one that is willing to wrap his arms around you and say, if you will choose me, I shall choose you, and I will hold your family together. God sees the humble, and he lifts them up. probably the most important message I could ever deliver to moms and people today. It doesn't matter how broken you think things are, God is still at work. The story's not over. Because that's an important part of Mary's story, because she began to see herself as a bigger story than herself. I'm now down in verses 54 through 55. He being God, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. As Mary ends her chorus and she ends her celebration, as she ends her song, she just can't help but see there's something at work that's bigger than me. Hey, that rhymed. I didn't do that intentionally. That was kind of an accident, but it's a good point there. There's just something going on that I'm now part of a larger plan than just myself. She realizes that my story is never just about me anymore. Tell me moms don't get that one. From the moment you bring the child home until the moment you kiss them goodbye and they're leaving your house, you understand your life will never be your own again. Everything changed. The moment the first child walked in, and then the second, and if you kept going, three, I think Ken had 9 brothers and sisters. Better you than me, son. Sir, I'm just glad. Not me. Oh, my gosh. But you understand, every time a child comes in, your life changed. Everything was different. I am part of what God is now doing in the world. That's impressive. That means to be a chosen family, you become part of God's bigger story. And again, I want to bring it back to our character for today. She lays down her dreams so that Lulo can have a future. You know what happens if she said no? If that accident happened and Nani said, I'm not doing this, I'm going to just walk out, what happens to Lulo? We don't even want to think about what happens to Lulo. Nani held the line. Nani decided this is important. She sacrifices her comfort so her sister can flourish. She becomes part of a redemption story that she never expected, because guess what? Her love shapes Lulo, and her sacrifice eventually saves Stitch. Without Nani, Stitch probably ends up back in prison. He ends up being the creature that was going to destroy everything. But it's her silent love, her presence, that creates a home where healing can happen. And that isn't just a heart, that isn't just the heart of what a family is. It's chosen or otherwise. Isn't that what family becomes? If I choose to be part of a family, whether it's biological or community or church, once I choose to be part of a family, and the family chooses me back, isn't that what it really is for? We sacrifice for one another. We work with one another. Sometimes we don't like one another. But family is never perfect. It's just always present. Now, I don't want you to get the idea that Disney based Nani on Mary, because that's not the point of the message. My goal is to offer encouragement to moms and to others, as well as helping you understand family is hard work. In its very best moment, family is nothing more than hard work. It is sacrifice and dealing and relationships and frustration, and you might think, why on earth would I ever do this? Because there's nothing quite like it. There's nothing quite like being part of a group of people that even when things aren't going well, I know they've got me. They understand me. Mary is the chosen mother of Jesus, and her yes brought Jesus into this world. But I need you to see that Nani's yes is absolutely holding her family together. You see, it's living for something bigger than ourselves. It's building a legacy of love that outlives us. Isn't that what family does? My legacy is going to live a lot longer than whatever years God has on my life, because I'm leaving behind kids. That maybe eventually someday we'll have kids. You get it, right? That's family. It's saying yes to God even when the responsibility feels downright overwhelming. It's understanding my willingness to say yes changes lives too. Told you that I was a youth minister for 17 years. You know how many kids I've got? I got a lot more than two. Sometimes I run across kids that remember me. I'm kind of like, who are you? Who are these people? I've had the privilege of performing a wedding for one of my kids. I know I've got at least five kids that are in ministry that came through our youth group. I know I've got one that is now coming over the mountain as a church planter over in Waynesboro. These are people that are part of my yes to choose family. I often wonder, how big is your family? How big do you not understand what your yes has done? So we open this series with the final moments of the movie. Stitch is standing there with his Ohana. By the way, in case you're wondering, Ohana means family. We'll talk about what family means in just a moment. We start there because it shows us the destination. A broken, mismatched, unlikely family of misfits. Made whole because someone chose to love. Someone chose to belong. Someone chose to stay. As the series unfolds, we're going to work our way back through the story. So we're going to go back kind of to the beginning, and we're going to work our way through the movie, looking just how this family got formed, how each piece got itself connected, how love shaped a creature that was made for destruction into someone that was capable of actually belonging to a family. But we're not going to jump there today. We'll get there. By the time we get back to this clip again, it'll mean a whole lot more because we've made this journey together. Today, I just want you to understand, these people are a lot like us. Very little and very broken, but still good. See, Nani chose to love even when it was heavy. Lilo chose to love even when it was risky. Stitch chose to love when it was unfamiliar. This creature had no idea what it meant to love anything. All he knew how to do was tear it apart. Mary chose to love even when it was costly. And most importantly, God chooses to love us first, fully, and faithfully. Family is not defined by your DNA. That's not how family works. It's designed to for those who share your heart, for those who show up, for those who stay, for those who choose you and whom you choose in return. Ohana means family. Family means nobody gets left behind or forgotten. We are God's family. Today, if you're celebrating as a mom, again, happy Mother's Day. Hopefully you're going to take something out of this sermon to take home and say, you know what? God, I realize I'm in over my head, but I'm not in over your head. You are God. I say yes to you. I choose you, knowing that you chose me first.